Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Welcome back in, hour two. We're talking a little college football because, well, college football is happening seemingly at a breakneck pace. And we were going to get to the Jamarcus Shepherd presser, and we will. We'll play that audio. But the college football rankings are coming out right now, and we're now up to 13. We'll get to – there is some interesting stuff at the back half in the 20s because of the ACC title game. But right now, Vanderbilt at 14, Texas at 13. Even though Texas moved up three spots, I still think that there is no way that Vanderbilt or Texas get in. So I think the line of demarcation is right there at 12 with Miami. But the fact that Miami is at 12, which means Notre Dame is ahead of them, I don't know if there's a path for Miami to get in either. I really don't. So we'll see where Oregon lands in this, but the fact that Miami's at 12 and they – I'm guessing that BYU is going to be 11, and we'll see where we go. But this kind of basically eliminates any chance that Miami, Texas, or Vanderbilt really have any opportunity to go up, unless because none of them are playing any more games. So there's BYU at 11.
Winning, you're in.
BYU's done. If BYU loses to Texas Tech, they will not get the SMU treatment. They will be booted out. But BYU is the last team to have an opportunity. And if BYU does win, then it really closes the door because then BYU and Texas Tech both go. So far, we haven't really seen anything in the rankings other than there was the idea of where does Miami land? Yeah. And the fact that Miami is at 12 essentially eliminates Miami.
I have a problem with this a little bit. Miami's a two-loss team.
Yep.
They beat Notre Dame.
Their resumes are very close.
And I do think that should matter.
It should. The biggest travesty in this whole thing is not Texas, it's not Vanderbilt, and there's Notre Dame at 10.
And they're 10-2 as well, except Miami beat Notre Dame.
The biggest travesty in this whole thing to me is that Notre Dame is two spots ahead of Miami, and both 10-2, both playing a heavy ACC schedule, obviously.
Right.
And on the field, Miami beat Notre Dame.
Yes.
I don't know what we're doing. At some point, two 10-2 teams with somewhat similar schedules that played head-to-head. How on earth Notre Dame is ahead of Miami is beyond me, but this is where we're at. And so at this point, when we're comparing similar resumes and neither team has another game to play, I don't see a way in which Miami can leapfrog into this thing. The only conceivable way you could have in this is if Alabama, who now comes in at number 9, if Alabama gets drilled by Georgia in the SEC title game. I would also like to point out that Alabama is the number 1 seed in the SEC. It's not Georgia.
For all the chatter that DeBoer has not tanked the program, but has just drugged the program down and the Saban years are over.
They beat Georgia. They're the number 1 seed in this thing.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that the only way that Miami could find a way to sneak in is if Alabama loses in the SEC title game and they drop from 9 all the way out. But the committee has loudly said that the title game should not punish you, although they're going to punish BYU with it. So
can I pose a question to you?
Yeah. And the rest, by the way, 8 and above is No matter what. They're in solid, locked in. So that's why I said 8 spots are already guaranteed. We have 1 spot guaranteed for the group of 5 and then either the ACC champion or another conference champion. So you only really have 2 spots to play with. And if BYU wins, you have 1 spot to play with.
Texas A&M falls 4 spots to 7.
Ole Miss
6 is Ole Miss. That means Oregon's 5.
Which, by the way,
that's huge.
It is huge because Oregon's sitting there at 5, which is what we thought. Unless one of the top 4 teams ends up dropping out, Oregon will at 5 will get to play the 12 seed, which should be,
which is going
to
be a not top 20, potentially a not really top 20 team.
It will either be
James Madison, Virginia, or Tulane or North Texas.
Those are so winnable.
Oregon, clearly. Oregon will be favored by 17 points against any one of those teams. And it will be at Autzen Stadium. There's Oregon officially at number 5.
That's huge. It's absolutely huge.
Yeah. The only thing that you could have happen in this, I still think there's an outside chance that Oregon could be a top 4 seed and get a bye. So here he goes. Texas Tech comes in at number 4. And which means, obviously, Georgia at 3, Indiana at 2, Ohio State at 1. Indiana and Ohio State are not falling out of the top 4.
No.
They're
not going to punish them for playing one another.
No.
Even I think if it were a blowout, and I don't think it will be, but even if it were.
I don't believe Georgia will fall out of the top 4. The interesting one is Texas Tech.
Yeah.
If Texas Tech were to lose to BYU, I could see a scenario where Texas Tech dropped 1 spot below and Texas Tech became the 5 and Oregon became the 4. Mm-hmm. So I do think there is a possibility that that could happen, but I still believe more than likely, one, BYU is not going to beat Texas Tech. Oregon more than likely is going to end up being the 5 seed, which means they're playing the 12. Get ready for James Madison, Tulane, North Texas, or Virginia to come to your place.
2 things. One, I think when you are the Oregon Ducks after last year, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Because you laid an egg. You were the number 1 seed, you were undefeated, and you got waxed.
Yeah.
And I think had you been 6 and played even a competent team in that first game, and you're at home and all that, if you lose that game, there are questions about your program in, can they win in the postseason? Fair or not? By the way, I don't think it is fair.
No.
But fair or not, there would be questions. Why 2 years in a row has Dan Lanning not won a playoff game if they were to lose? This gives you a runway where you get essentially like Liberty in the Fiesta Bowl again, where you get that like, hey, marquee win, a Fiesta Bowl championship for Dan Lanning, and no one ever says on his resume, he didn't win a big game. He will win a college football playoff game more than likely this year because they're going to play the worst team in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
And that's huge. You get a little runway, and then, by the way, you play the 4. And the 4 is going to be the worst of those conference champions that get the auto bid. That could be a winnable game.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's not Ohio State in your first college football playoff game.
Yeah.
This is a much easier path than they had last year. The other thing I wanted to bring up, and I said, can I ask you something? We're talking about teams in the college football playoff and teams not in the college football playoff. I pose to you, given Mario Cristobal, his time at Oregon, his time at Miami, he is the king of bubble team.
Yeah.
Because he loses 1 or 2 games every year he shouldn't,
yep.
And most teams lose a game somewhere along the line that just is a tough game, and Mario has been known to lose that game. So Mario's ceiling, everywhere he's been, for the most part, feels like a 2-loss team. In the ACC right now, that's bubble. He was on the bubble last year. He's on the bubble this year. And again, in both cases, did he have the high highs? Yeah, he beat Notre Dame. Did he have the high highs at Oregon? Yes, they won some big games. But he also, because of his lows, is kind of going to put Miami in a spot where they are perennially the team that you go, yeah, they're good. Why the hell did they lose to Louisville? Why the hell did they lose to?
And SMU.
He is going to be a perennial bubble guy. That's who he is in his soul.
He's kind of
a bubble guy.
He's kind of the James Franklin with more of an edge to him.
He could kick James Franklin's ass.
But that's about it.
But that's who he is. Yeah.
They're kind of the Penn State now.
Is that not fair?
I think
that's who he is.
And by the way, if you had, we
talk about this in the NFL. If you were going to take a team in the college or in the NFL playoffs to make the AFC title game, most years you'd be safe taking the Chiefs. It's a bad example this year. But most years you take the Chiefs, you're going to get there.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like, gun to your head, you have to pick a team that's on the bubble for the college football playoff. For next year?
Yeah.
I'd pick Miami.
Pick Miami.
Because they're going to lose a game they shouldn't because Mario Cristobal's their coach.
And I want you to know that the craziest thing about the rankings is pay attention to it. So Virginia is the only ACC team not named Miami that is ranked. Miami cannot play, obviously, in the ACC title game. They are done. The ACC title game is Virginia and Duke. 7-5 Duke. But this is where it gets interesting. Did you see who was ranked at the bottom half of that? Number 25 was James Madison.
Correct.
James Madison is ranked. Pay attention to this. Because if Duke somehow beats Virginia, and by the way, I don't think that's going to happen. Virginia is actually a fairly decent team. And if Virginia wins, then Virginia ends up being the 11 seed. And the 12 seed is the winner of Tulane and North Texas.
Duke has a really good quarterback.
I know.
Be careful.
I'm just saying. Like, keep an eye on this. This is where it could get interesting. The two interesting things there is, my God, if BYU beats Texas Tech, there's no room for Notre Dame. There's no room for Miami. There's no room for Notre Dame. They get the heave. Look out. Because now we're losing it. That, you know, people are going to absolutely crap the bed. The other one is this ACC situation. If Virginia loses, Miami's not getting in.
Right.
And that means that the ACC champion will be Duke. Duke will be ranked behind not only the winner of Tulane and North Texas, who are both ranked in the top 25, but now James Madison. James Madison is 25. And when they win, I believe, I think they're playing Troy. Mm-hmm. And when James Madison wins, and if Duke wins, I want everyone to realize that the ACC will not get a team in this playoff. It will not be Duke. The ACC is not guaranteed. It is the five highest-ranked conference champions.
Correct.
And at that point, the five highest-ranked conference champions will be the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the American Conference, and the Sun Belt.
Yep.
James Madison would go, and Miami, at 10-2, will be sitting at home crying, and that's just the way it is. And by the way, that's not going to change. People are like, there's no way they would let it happen. Yes,
it has
they
to.
Will.
It's the rules.
They just showed you
right.
that is a real possibility. Holy God.
And not only that, but that's not that unrealistic. Virginia has opened as a 3.5 point favorite.
Aren't we all
over Duke?
Aren't we
the
all
spread's
rooting,
3.5.
Aren't we all rooting for Duke at this point?
Yes. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I want the chaos. Are you kidding me, man?
Duke wins and James Madison is in and Miami isn't,
I want to see Tulane and James Madison.
And also realize, again, if BYU were to win, then BYU, North Texas, James Madison all go and Texas.
And Indiana, by the way.
And Indiana, Texas, Vandy, Notre Dame, all gone. Miami yes. out.
And here's
we have the potential for a holy hell chaos sort of situation where people will be screaming from the mountaintops that changes need to be had, and maybe they will, but it's not coming this year.
And some of this is reap what you sow, because I've said this, you've said this eloquently a number of times. When you join a super conference, somebody has to go 8-4.
Yeah.
Somebody has to go 7-5, and you think it'll never be us.
Hell, it is.
But if you're in a conference with Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss is suddenly on the rise. Florida, who's been good in various years, isn't great right now. Somebody's going to have a down year.
Yeah.
And guess what? 9-3 in a conference that loaded might not get you in the dance. And you know who signed up for it? You did.
Well,
so
unless
don't
you're
be
the
mad.
SEC.
Because if you were in the Big 12, if Texas and Oklahoma were in the Big 12, is there any question that they would be likely a game or two better and be in the dance? They chose this.
Yeah.
So you reap what you sow. And yeah. I don't feel bad for you.
Yeah.
Because you screwed out Oregon State and Washington State of being part of things on the upper end. Yeah. And so, yeah, okay, you now play a tougher schedule, and you don't get to be a part of the dance.
By the way, the one thing I will say, and then we'll go to break and we'll come back. We will get to the Jamarcus Shepherd thing, and then we'll get to in the news. But get ready for this, because it's going to happen with all these big schools. Alabama next year officially booted their South Florida game. It got removed. They're kicking it down the road from 2026 to 2032. That game will never be played, by the way. And the Crimson Tide also added home games with East Carolina. So you replaced South Florida with Chattanooga and you added East Carolina. I promise you, Texas next year will not schedule Ohio State again.
Right.
Because it's not about strength of schedule. It's just not. It's about wins and losses. Because if Texas had not played Ohio State, if they had played the Chattanooga, Texas would be in this conversation, and now there's no way for them to be in this dance. So scheduling changes are coming, and that is an unfortunate part of it, but it's just the way the cookie crumbles at this point. When we come back, we introduce you to the new coach of the Oregon State Beavers right here on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right, college football heavy edition in the news coming up. 5 o'clock hour. We'll try to get some NFL stuff, but man, the college football world right now is just a spinning. Kind of pouring over the rankings here. And you know, it really does feel like we're at the precipice now where there's only one spot up for grabs, and it's just Notre Dame. I feel like you have your playoff field at this point. And the only question is BYU. If BYU wins, that's your field. Notre Dame's out. If BYU loses, then it's Alabama and it's Notre Dame. And then the only thing left to be figured out is who ends up winning the back half of it. The ACC, or is it James Madison, or is it Tulane in North Texas?
Right.
But I kind of feel like the committee is telling you right now that there's really no room for anybody. Like this is, I feel like the field is set. Maybe some positioning, like you said, maybe Oregon can jump up to the four, or you know, maybe someone you know jumps to the five, and Oregon falls to the six. But essentially, I think you have your playoff field set, and I think that's what the committee is telling you at this point. So, we'll get through the championship weekend, and then over the weekend, we'll actually see where we go. But I would expect Oregon to stay at the five and probably end up playing North Texas, Tulane, or James Madison, and they will be favored by three scores, I think, against every one of those teams. So lines up really well for Oregon being at the five seed. Down in Corvallis today, we had a press conference because over the weekend, I think on Friday, we heard that Jamarcus Shepherd was going to be the next coach at Oregon State. He had his introductory press conference. We clipped up some audio, and I know you didn't get a chance to listen to all of it. I listened to the whole thing today. I was actually just watching it on YouTube while I was working out. And I'll say my first impression of Jamarcus Shepherd, I see why they hired him.
Yeah,
we heard that he was an energetic force, and he really wanted this job. And you can see when you listen to these clips why Oregon State wanted Jamarcus Shepherd, and he was one of the early guys that they singled out. And I guess he was lobbying for it really hard. This wasn't one of those like, hey, if I get it, I get it. He wanted this job from the get go. So let's talk about this. Was goals for the team coming in from Jamarcus Shepherd?
These are really my goals as a football program. We will win the Pac-12 championship and a bowl game with class, integrity, and academic excellence. That is what we will do here.
This was his message to the players.
I hope they receive that it's about to be hard. It's going to be very, very hard. I want to create adversity for them. I think that the best things in your life that you've achieved have come from those adverse moments and learning how to deal with adversity. I tell you what, in this day and age of NIL, you know, some players, this will be the most money that they will have ever made in their life. I think about this all the time. It'll be the most they maybe ever make in their life. And what are they going to do when that first job comes up and they're offering them $35,000 a year for that job? How are they going to respond? Or the first time, you know, they find out something about their child that they're not excited about, or the first time, you know, their wife, you know, wants to get a divorce, or how are they going to respond to adversity? And here at Oregon State, we're going to teach that. We're going to make sure they know and understand how to deal with adversity in a real way. And then
one of the things that I thought was one of the underlying message that he had time and time again is he really emphasized that this was more than just football. He talked about him and his wife being involved in the community. He's getting together and he's inviting every other head coach at Oregon State to come to their house to a barbecue. He really was emphasizing community and wanting to build something there at Oregon State. And for a school that kind of feels like it's been abandoned, I can see why that was a big probably feather in his cap, that was his message when he met with leaders.
Yeah, one of the things I talked about, I joined a Spaces for Oregon State fans in the middle of the year, and they were disgruntled, and I said part of it is you guys don't really have a culture of your football program. Yeah. And I didn't mean that as a shot to they're not good or they haven't had a history. They have. They've had a very rich history, including a Fiesta Bowl win over Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Where are those faces? Yeah. They're not around, yeah. And that's a problem. And you even hear this from the Oregon guys. LaMichael James tweeted about this, I think this week, that he feels great that the former players are welcome on campus and are a part of it. And he tweeted something like, this wasn't always the case. Yeah. And you don't get a sense that Oregon State taps into that and builds upon. They've produced a ton of NFL talent.
Yeah.
Isaac Siamalo, Chad Ochocinco, TJ Husmanzada, Derek Anderson, they've produced a bunch of talent. And those guys in tapping into that and building a culture of like, hey, we've produced. And in fact, we've kind of outkicked our coverage when it's come to what we've recruited compared to what we've built. This can be an NFL factory. We have top 25 facilities. Come back. We'll roll out the red carpet for you guys. Recruits, we have things to showcase. We're going to be a top 3 brand in the Pac-12. I think all of those things are good. And by the way, I don't think he's wrong that this is a program that can make a bowl game sooner rather than later. And pretty quickly, just based on brand, Boise State, Washington State, Oregon State
should have a leg up.
Those are the three teams that should have a leg up to win the conference. And is there a reason, you know, is there any reason that Oregon State, and no, you don't want to be compared to this, but is there any reason Oregon State in a couple of years can't be James Madison or North Texas, the team that wins 9, 10, 11 games and reigns on the college football parade and gets in? The path's certainly easier than it was for the last decade.
Yes.
I'll do you, even one better. I think over the next decade, Oregon State's win percentage will be at least 10% higher than it was the previous decade.
Yeah.
And I believe in Coach Shepard. I think he did a great job up at Washington. I heard great things when I was covering their recruiting. He's done a good job at Alabama. He's going to invigorate this program, and I think he might bring some real transfer portal help that they desperately need. I'm really encouraged. I think this press conference was very solid. I don't think it's a home run, but you know what? There's been a lot of press conferences that weren't home runs, and there's been a lot of press conferences that were bad that the coach ended up doing well. I think this was somewhere in the middle. And I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing, and I'm really encouraged that Scott Barnes didn't just do retread.
Yeah.
Get away from what hasn't worked and tap into a championship vein and see if you can't bring that to Corvallis.
And here is Coach Shepard talking about inviting some of those players back to campus, because, again, this was another kind of just thread throughout the thing, was building the culture and building upon what Oregon State's rich history is.
Let me tell you right now, all the alumni, get your butt back here. All right? I want you back here. I want you on the sidelines, okay? I want you engaging with our players. I want you sitting in meetings, okay? I want you sitting in my office talking to me about your experience here at Oregon State and how we can mirror that, all right, or how we can enhance that experience for our current student athletes. We want this to be the greatest experience in their lives as student athletes here at Oregon State.
Yeah, again, I just, it was a very, almost like preacher-like feel, right? It had that almost like a sermon sort of feel to it, where it really was about family, it was about culture, it was about community. And one of the things he talked about too was, here's a clip of him talking about bringing in local talent. As you've pointed out, they have, this last staff did a really, really poor job of making those inroads in state. And this is something that Coach Shepherd directly addressed today.
I do believe that a nucleus of our football team needs to come from local areas, from Oregon and within a five-hour radius of this institution. Why? Because I think that those young men are the ones that create part of the culture. They're taking people back home for Thanksgiving. They're taking people to the lake and taking them out skiing, and they understand the landscape of the area that we're in. So they are the nucleus of what we do, all right? And then also, I think that Oregon State has been its best when it's recruited from the Bay Area and South and Southern LA. They've done a great job of recruiting elite players from those areas of the country. But also we got to tap into Utah. We got to tap into Colorado. I've had a lot of success in Vegas with Roma Dunze and Jeremy Bernard and even Derek Meadows, these young men coming from that area. So I wanted to make sure that we were able to bring kids from our footprint into the program. And you can't do that without getting to know them. You have to really understand what makes them tick. You want to know their family environments. You want to know this. Do they love football? That will be a priority on this football team. You have to love football, okay? All right? And if we can get a bunch of kids out there flying around who love this game the way that I love it, then I think we'll be able to get to the level of success that we want to achieve.
Yeah, I just thought he really struck a lot of good chords.
Yeah.
Did he sound nervous at times? Yeah. Does he have some tics? If you took a shot every time he said, all right, or, you know, sure. It's a guy that probably hasn't been on a lot of these stages. He's a first-time head coach. He's never been a coordinator. So certainly there was some nervous energy there. I think he struck a lot of the right chords. And if you listen to that, that was a guy that, and he really made this point, that this was not just the first job that became available. He wanted this job. I mean, he said he fought for this job. You know, this was definitely something that he talked about when he was at Washington State, when he was at UW, how hard it was to come in and play Corvallis, to play Oregon State and Corvallis, that he knew that there is something here, that they can be the best team in the Pac-12, that this is an opportunity. And yes, to the people that are going to be cynical and say, hey, the first time he wins 11 games, he's gone. Yes, that's the way this works. It just is. I mean, for God's sakes, Ole Miss won 11 games and they're gone.
What a wonderful problem to have.
Exactly,
when
right?
When he wins 11 games, he'll be gone. Yes. Okay, I'll take the 11 wins.
You think North Texas right now or Tulane is really pissy that they're on the doorstep of a college football playoff? You know, it's also why they're letting their coaches coach in these games. They understand what this is. But I do think that you took a swing at a guy today that has a lot of upside. We don't know how it's going to go, but I just thought he struck a lot of the right chords and struck me as someone that if I'm a fan and I'm an alumni, I would like to see what makes him tick.
Yeah.
And I just loved that idea of opening up the get your butts back here, inviting the other coaches to his house, talking about having Easter egg hunts at his house, talking about moving his kids here. This did not seem like a Jed Fish, my wife is staying in Arizona, right, and I'm here.
Right, right.
This was, we're coming to plant our flag. And yes, that can ring hollow to people because we know the transient nature of coaches. But he struck me as a genuine guy, and he struck me as a very likable guy. And I'm rooting for Oregon State. I think what happened to him sucked. And I think now at Washington State and at Oregon State, I think you have really good coaches. And I think you have a bright future if done right in this new Pac-12. And believe it or not, actually better access. I know it's It's not going to be the same financially and all that, but you actually have a better chance of reaching the college football playoff with where you're at now than had you landed in the Big 12 or landed in the ACC. The money's not the same, obviously, and you're going to have to do more with less, but the actual opportunity to get there is going to be easier.
I think he touched on a number of things that are really important. I think there were intentional shots in there. The Lake Oswego. Hello, yeah. Lake Oswego, Lake Ridge.
Yeah.
Two pipeline programs. 5-hour drive away. That's hello, Seattle. He mentioned the Bay Area and Southern LA. Those are going to be recruiting pipelines.
You have to win.
Las Vegas has Bishop Gorman High School. Yeah. That's one of the best high schools in America. Utah has a lot of linemen. They produce a lot of poly talent that comes out of Utah. Everything he said came across as very aware, and he is because he recruited at Washington. But those are things I look for when I'm looking at a recruiting. Does he understand the hotbeds? And he did. Oh. And he very intentionally sent some shots to say,
hey, we're coming.
This is where we're going to recruit. Yeah. He's right. That is where they should recruit. I think that was really encouraging. Also, I feel very comfortable saying this. When Gary Anderson was hired, I told people he will fail miserably. The buzz I heard was terrible. Yeah. I speak for only myself, and I'm not naming names here, but I do know there are other folks who said this. I reached out to a number of people when Trent Bray was hired to a man.
Yes, you and by the way, you have said this 1,000 times over.
Every single person I spoke to said, he will fail, he is not likable, he is not a personality, he's going to be a wet sponge press conferences. He does not ingratiate himself when he recruits. It goes very badly, it's awkward, it's not comfortable. And I thought Bray was an absolute disaster. And further, I thought it was a sign that Scott Barnes absolutely panicked, because every single person I spoke with, to a man, former teammates, guys who were on his staff, even after, hey, I need a job, but this is not going to work. Everyone said Trent Bray's a bad hire. Yeah. You know what people say about Coach Shepard? Yeah. Really energetic guy, going places, knows what he's doing, likable, a big part of why we've had success. Okay, sign me up. Yeah. I'm in. Yeah. And I totally believe it's going to work. I do.
And no matter who you are, from Lane Kiffin to Coach Shepard, nothing's guaranteed. But I think you made an educated guess, and I don't think anyone can criticize that. Now we wait a couple years, and we see what the results are.
Let's see who his coordinators are. Let's see who's calling plays on both sides of the ball. Yeah. But at least on paper, this makes sense. And this is not hiring scared. And I think for the last couple years, Oregon State has moved on the chessboard and Washington State has moved to try to at least continue momentum and stay the course.
One's at a bowl game, and one is going through one of the worst seasons that they've had in modern history. And the scared thing is 100% correct. Trent Bray was the last guy that was willing to get off the plane, and that's why he got it. Because he played linebacker here, and he was willing to get off the plane. And that's not a reason to hire anyone. It just isn't. The idea of you have to hire a Michigan man, by the way, that absolutely drives me nuts. Oh, well, he played here. Who gives two flying whatever? Dan Lanning didn't play here. Turns out he was pretty good. Kalen DeBoer didn't play at Washington. Turned out he was pretty good. Hire a guy that has big upside. And I think Oregon State, we can all agree, made a good hire today. It's a big swing. Now we see how it plays out. When we come back in the news, here, though, is Schulze with a little update.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come in, Fast and Furious Day of College Football. Got a in the news coming up here, and then in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll try to shift gears a little bit, maybe try to talk some NFL because we just haven't been able to get to much of it at all. But right now, it is December 2nd, in the year of our Lord 2025, and that means it is time for In the News. I'm your noted news contributor, sitting in for your noted news man. It is National World Trick Shot Day, if that does anything for you. What is it, Dude Bro? I still can't believe that those guys are made a living out of that.
I love Justin Herbert a lot. Yeah. He's phenomenal. I've known him since he was in high school. I called him an NFL prospect when he was not rated. I love that guy. It bothered me and changed my view of him. Dude, he said that show was his favorite show on TV.
That's weird.
This was weird. This is
one of those things that I know I'm out of touch. Because this is what I've learned through having kids. Like, just because you don't get something doesn't mean that it's not worthwhile.
Sure.
Like, I had to figure that out. Like, for years and years, like, things that my kids were into, I was like, how on earth is this what you're into? And I'm like, just shut up. That's what they enjoy. Sit down and do it with them. I struggle with some stuff. And like, this is one of those that Dude Bro and National Trick Shots, that is so popular. It just, it breaks my mind.
I call it the Is It Cake category.
Yes. Yes.
Life. At least that's more like entertaining.
How is that a show? Is It Cake?
Because it involves some sort of skill.
Like, I'm not going to lie. I've watched Is This Cake.
Yeah.
No, God.
I've watched
This Cake. It's a good show.
Dude.
My daughter's seven.
When I get fooled by the cake, I'm not going to lie, I get a little giddy. Because it's one of those, like, when you first start watching, like, this is so dumb, and you're like, there's no way. Oh, it's cake. And then you're like, ah, damn it.
But you've watched like a whole season, or caught yourself watching a clip? Because those are different things.
No. Oh, I've watched every season.
That explains a lot.
Yes. I've watched Halloween version. They just came out with a holiday version for Christmas, man. Are you kidding me?
Oh, there you go.
Again, I put trick shots along with Is It Cake?
I've seen Is It Cake. Am I aware of the holiday version of it? No, but I think we're getting a glimpse inside the worlds of the Schnitzel Wolf.
Like The Floor is Lava? That's also a show.
That's
like
a show?
How is that a show?
Wait, I love Floor is Lava.
Oh,
like that,
no.
That's a show?
Oh, wow. See, that's
a show. What?
I'm with
Where
you on
have
that
I
dynamic.
Been?
That's a game show.
I loved Floor is Lava as a kid.
It's a game show that's recurring. Can you even possibly imagine watching that as an adult?
Well, look, we're...
At 12 p.m. in the afternoon, I couldn't.
We are two-thirds of the way to Idiocracy, so... at this point, I think Floor is Lava or Is This Cake or Dude Bro is probably... on the better end of what's available out there. It's also the National Day of Giving. So, you know, day after Thanksgiving, it's the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. It's the National Day of Giving. So, I don't know, maybe if you got a couple extra bucks in your pocket, you know, go find someone in need. And around this time of the year, it's always nice whether you do like a toy drive or, you know, whatever, provide a little something for someone around the holidays that's got a little worse than you. And then I struggle with this one. It's National Mutt Day. And this is one thing about me that bothers me. I don't do mutts. I've never had one. I always have purebred dogs, and it bothers me. Not only do I have purebred dogs, but I usually buy, like, my purebred dogs.
It bothers you about yourself?
Yes.
Or it bothers you that there are mutts?
It bothers me about myself.
Okay.
Like, I want to be the mutt guy, I want to be the guy that walks into the shelter and is like, look at this Lhasa Apso mix. Oh my God. Like, this is awesome. Or like, you know, like, dude, this beagle, me and this beagle are going to solve mysteries. Like, I want to be that guy.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
My dogs have only been mutts. Yeah. In fact, we have Gobi right now, and he's a German Shepherd Lab Pit mix.
What?
And he is the coolest freaking dog the world.
I can't.
I take him for walks to the school at night. He loves to night walk. He's all black, so you can't see him, and then you see these eyes coming at you. The only problem is the shelter, because they heard us talking, and we said we want a medium-sized dog, no bigger than 60 pounds. And they're like, well, his mom was only 50 pounds. His dad was 70 pounds. He is a 98-pound dog.
And this is what I'm saying. I don't like going in not knowing. I like knowing this is the breed I'm getting, right? I'm getting him when he is a puppy. I get to raise it. I don't know what that, and it's so terrible. I don't want to be this way. But I go get a dog from the shelter. I have no idea what that dog's going to be like when it grows up. I have no idea the size of it. I have no idea if that dog's been through some sort of traumatic experience, right? I have no idea. It's like, oh, this dog is great, until it's not and decides to rip my face off because its last owner, like, put cigarettes out on it. I like getting a blank slate.
I get it.
Where it's like, this is my puppy. All the experience he has were going to be experiences with me. And when I got my old English Bulldog, I knew what an old English Bulldog looked like. I have an Akita now. And when I got the Akita, this was his dad. This was his mom. This is what he's going to be. This is how big, like, I knew what I was getting. I knew what the breed is prone to. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, this is how you should manage this breed. This is how this breed needs to be trained. And I hate that I'm like that. I want to go get a mutt and rescue.
You're a dog elitist.
I am.
It's cool.
I 100% am.
I don't think you're a dog elitist. It's
he absolutely is. He absolutely is.
I have had 9 dogs in my adult life.
What's the least you've paid for a dog?
Well, I've rescued a senior or two.
Some Akitas, though, right?
So it's
what's the least you paid for a dog?
Yeah, it's not good.
Say it out loud.
It's not good.
Say it out loud.
It's not good.
Right.
It's not good.
He's an elitist. He's a dog elitist.
It's bad.
Well, hey.
Well, you know, like purebred dogs now, it's a scam.
It is.
They're so expensive, but like I wrote the check. You don't want to know.
You're not going to say the number?
No, it's bad.
How many figures?
It's an embarrassing number.
It's four figures.
It's bad. Yeah, okay. It might be
5 figures.
No.
Dogs aren't.
They're not that bad. But
a purebred, really expensive one, you can find it for $20,000. Yes,
I'm not in that range. But dude, a lot of dogs now are in that $2,000 to $4,000.
I mean, I'm with you, Sook. They don't know, cats or dogs, if you go to like a shelter, they half the time don't even know like how old those animals actually are. We got our cat, it was 8 months old. They told us it was already 3.
Yeah.
They had no idea.
No. We had someone in my family that got a dog, and same thing, they told them that the dog was like 3 or 4 or something.
No.
The dog was 9 and had cancer.
Oh my God.
Like they took it to the vet after they had it like 6 months or something. The vet was like, dude, this is a senior dog. And oh, by the way, like a few months later, the dog had cancer and was like, I was like, oh my God. Like, I like knowing what I'm getting. And I wish I wasn't that way, but I am. I like being able to look at the mom. I like being able to look at the dad. I like being able to look at the family at which it comes from. I'm like, yeah, all right. I like you people. You seem legit. And I like knowing that dog's going to be with me for 10 years. I'm going to have it around me, my kids, my friends, everybody. I want to know what I'm getting. I don't like rolling the dice and being like, well, we'll see what happens.
So, you know, when you first get a dog, you're not 100% sure, because they're, especially when you get them young, they're kind of dumb and obnoxious.
Yes.
And you love them, but they're, God, you just get tired of them.
Yeah.
Gobi ingratiated himself forever. Someone pulled up to the school, and we were at a school to play, and told my daughter they were looking for a dog and please get in their car. They had no license plates on their car. It was a woman. There was a man in the front seat. It was super sketchy. They had tinted like black windows. Again, no license plate. And said, come with me. And Gobi got between them and like viciously, and he's not a vicious dog, did the like snarl growl and bite the rah, like German Shepherd lost his S, and the lady got back in her car. Gobi's good with me forever. So shout out to the mutts on National Mutt Day.
It's also National Special Education Day. So those people, by the way, that are in that line of work, you're doing God's work. Some of the sweetest individuals are special needs kids that are going through school. And God bless the people that are working with them.
My my brother was born handicapped and passed away, and he had special needs teachers that absolutely changed his life.
Some of the sweetest individuals.
Some little victories, just like learning to be potty trained, learning to, you know, get yourself dressed and everything, and they do all that work. They deserve incredible, incredible praise, so shout out to all of them.
I got derailed by the National Mutt Day thing. When we come back, we'll squeeze in one or two stories. We'll get into the NFL stuff at the 5 o'clock in the news, an abbreviated edition when we come back, primetime here on the Fan. All right, we are the definition of up against it here with in the news. So I'll just squeeze in one or two stories here. Neither one of them particularly good. I was trying to find like some like upbeat positive news, but there wasn't really anything good. Unionized legacy health workers are going on strike, like nurses' assistants and whatnot. So that's not good.
Shout out to the nurses.
Shout out to the nurses out there. 19 affordable Portland apartments that are available for basically Section 8, like low-income housing. Mm-hmm. They're being unused right now.
Shocking.
We have almost 2,000 apartments and that are sitting
and we want to build more.
That are sitting unused right now. What are we doing? And on top of it, the Nordstrom Rack in downtown here, they're off of Morrison, that will officially close at the end of
finally. I don't know if you've ever been to that location.
It's rough.
The shelves were empty for a while.
It's not
the Nordstrom, the Nordstrom.
The Nordstrom Rack. The Nordstrom Rack. I can't afford to shop at the Nordstrom. I do shop at the Nordstrom Rack, but yeah, if you go to the one, like, there's one out in Clackamas, there's one in the airport, like,
Washington Square.
The Nordstrom Rack is fine. In fact, they've opened 25 of those this year around the country. It's just that this one down here is not going good. So
I went through a stretch in my 20s
where
I would hit the Nordstrom Rack relatively often, and I would look for designer jeans.
Yeah.
And I got lots of pairs of, you know, like Seven, True Religion. Just I would buy designer jeans from the Nordstrom Rack.
And they quit the Sevens.
Yeah, just
let's go.
Designer jeans, whatever was in at the time. I don't think Sevens are particularly in now for
men. Oh, they're not. No.
But they were 15 years ago or whatever.
The white stitching.
Yeah.
The big brass button pockets.
But not the ones with the like heavy stitching. But anyway, that used to be my bag. So shout out to Nordstrom Rack. Sorry you're going out of business, although it sounds like it's gone downhill much like the 7G.
We just need some more foot traffic down in Portland. You know, I'm always stumping for the city. I love this city. I think we're doing a better job. I was walking around downtown last night, was cruising around with some clients that were in town. And I'm telling you, it isn't bad down there. We just got to get some more foot traffic. And we got to get some businesses to stick around. And the mayor did say he came out. So it's just sad anytime big stores like that decide to leave downtown. We're just not getting the foot traffic in downtown to support a lot of these businesses. So that was a little bit of a bummer.
My wife and I did a date night last week, and we just drop us off at the first bar.
Yeah.
And we're going to walk around to various bars in Portland.
Love it.
We finished at Silk Road. Have you ever been to Silk Road?
Yeah, Silk Road's nice.
Silk Road's really good.
Yeah.
Silk Road was a good time.
Yeah.
So we got like a sample platter thing and a drink or two or three at each spot and went to three different spots. Finished at Silk Road, sat up at the bar. That's a really good time.
Yes.
And so you can still do, and we at no point felt unsafe.
Nah.
We had a really good time. So it's coming back somewhat. I don't necessarily think losing a Nordstrom Rack is like the defining that Portland's going in decline. It might actually be the opposite.
Well, Nike came back. They opened their store. There's, you know, so that's good. They're back in the city.
Isn't
so
that right around the corner from this closing Nordstrom Rack, too? They're pretty close.
So it's we're getting some positive signs. So I want the city. I'm a fan of the city. I love this city, and I'm always stumping for it. So whenever there's like negative closing news, REI or Nordstrom, whatever, I'm like, ah, damn it. Because everyone loves to crap on it. And they're like, you're always saying it's good down there. I say it's getting better, and it's not nearly as bad as what people are saying. So if you can, get on down downtown. No one's going to do anything to you. At least we don't think so.
Hopefully not.
There's in the news. We come back. We'll shift gears. We'll talk a little NFL. Primetime here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.